Tonight's shiur is titled Waiting for Mashiach, and it's not your regular Parsha shiur. We're going to digress a little bit tonight. And I want to discuss a couple of ideas in the Rambam on Yemos HaMashiach and Mashiach himself. And the reason why I'm taking up this area is because I give another shiur at Rutgers once a week, and the guys at Rutgers wanted me to talk about Mashiach because apparently the Chabad at Rutgers is very influential, and some of them are, you know, are subtly believe in the Rebbe being Mashiach, so they wanted to hear a different perspective on Mashiach, so I prepared a shiur on that area. But I also wanted to discuss like some insights into the Rambam and Mashiach, because there's a couple of halachos on Mashiach that I think are interesting, and they're very strong questions that we can raise on it. So so hopefully we'll come back to Parsha in the future, but right now we're going to take up the area of Mashiach. Okay, so I'm going to start.
Is it going to be a different format?
No, same thing. We're going to ask questions, and I wonder, I'm sure you probably will be more heated tonight, and there'll be more, hopefully, I'm hoping for more involvement. And yeah, so we'll see. We're just going to go through the halachos, right. but there's a couple, like I said before, there's a couple of very strong questions that need to be addressed. Okay, so let's start with the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So it's the 11th Perek in the Rambam. And this is where he introduces the idea of Mashiach in the Yad. Hamelech HaMashiach Asid La'amod U'Lahachzir Malchus David L'Yoshna L'Memshala HaRishona. So the Melech HaMashiach in the future is going to restore the kingdom of David to its original grandeur and its original sovereignty. Ubone HaMikdash, and the Mashiach is going to be responsible for building the Mikdash, U'Mekabitz Nidche Yisrael, and he's going to gather up all of Klal Yisrael that are, you know, afar. V'chozrin kol ha-mishpatim b'yamav kishayu mikudam. And all the laws that existed in the time of David will exist again. Makrivin korbanos. Korbanos will come back. V'osin shmitin v'yovlos kechol mitzvasa ha-amura b'torah. And we will do Shemitah and Yovel, everything that's commanded in the Torah. Okay, so the first point the Rambam is making is that Mashiach is going to restore the Malchus based David, and we're going to keep all the mitzvos as they were. Okay? V'chol mi she'eno mamin bo, o mi she'eno mechake l'biyaso. So anybody who doesn't believe in him, or doesn't await his coming, lo bishar nevi'im bilvad hu kofer, he is not just a kofer in most of the Nevi'im, ella b'toro v'moshe Rabbeinu, but he is also a kofer in the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. Sha'arei ha-Torah ha'ida alav, because the Torah, there are psukim that specifically refer to Mashiach. Shenemar, one of them, v'shav Hashem elokecha eshvuscha v'richa mecha, v'shav v'kibetzcha. So Hashem will eventually return Klal Yisrael from their captivity, and he will have mercy upon them, and he will gather them. And im yiyeh nidachecha b'ktzei ha-shamayim megomer, and even if the people are spread out, he will bring them together. V'haviyacha Hashem, and he will bring them, and it's a reference to the future geula. V'elu ha-dvarim ha-mefurashim b'torah, heim kolim kol ha-dvarim shenemru al-yidei kol ha-nevi'im. So the psukim in the Torah, they include everything that the Nevi'im mention about Mashiach. So those psukim are really essential. Okay, and this is another strange thing. Af b'parshas Bilam, even in Parshas Bilam, not just there in Devarim, is there a reference to Mashiach, but also in Parshas Bilam, it says, Ne'amar v'sham navo b'shnei ha-mashichim. There, it's, v'sham niva b'shnei ha-mashichim. There's nevuah with regard to the shnei ha-mashichim. B'mashiach ha-rishon shu David, shoshias Yisrael miyad tzareihem. The first Mashiach is David. Uva Mashiach Acharon she'omed mibanav she'moshias Yisrael miyad bnei Esav. And the last Mashiach, which is, you know, the Mashiach that we're referring to tonight, who's going to save Klal Yisrael from Esav, from the rule of Esav, which is basically, you know, the Roman Empire. Visham hu omer, so where's the reference? Erenu v'lo'ata ze David, I see it, but it's not right now, which is a reference to David. Ashirenu v'lo karov ze melech ha-mashiach. I perceive it, but not in the near future. That's a reference to Melech HaMashiach. Darach kochav mi Yaakov ze David. A star shall go forth from Yaakov. That's David. Vekam shevet mi Yisrael. And a staff shall emerge from Yisrael. Ze Melech HaMashiach. Fine. Umachatz pasei Moav ze David. So he'll crush the princes of Moab, that's David. V'cheinu omer v'yachas Moab v'yim dadeim b'chavel v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. And he will decimate all the descendants of Sheis, Hamelech HaMashiach. Shnei marbo u'mashlu miyam ad yam v'haya Edom yirisha zed David. So when it says Edom will be demolished, it's referring to David. Shnei mar v'ati Edom v'david l'avadim v'haya yirisha zel Hamelech HaMashiach shnei mar v'alu moshin bar tzion. Okay, fine. So what are some of the questions? And some of the questions are stronger than others, but what are some of the questions that we can ask on this Rambam? What's strange about this Rambam? I'm looking for like two main questions, but if you have more, then you know, feel free to ask. And don't let the bold is a little bit of a giveaway to one question. So the Rambam says, V'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, o mi she'eno mechake l'biyoso. He's not just a kofar in the Nevi'im, a heretic, a denier of Nevi'im, but he's also a denier of Torah. Okay, what's strange about that? See, I understand v'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, if a person doesn't believe in Mashiach, that he's a kofar, because he's denying the Torah, and he's denying the psukim and the Nevi'im. But why is a mi she'eno mechake l'biyoso, a person who doesn't await Mashiach's coming, why is that person a kofar? It's just a strange phenomena, that a person who doesn't await Mashiach's coming is defined as a kofar b'Torah. So let me use an example to strengthen the question. Sorry, let me just use an example, and we're going to come to this example a little bit more in depth, but you know, let's take like a mitzvah, like Shabbos, for example. So if a person denies that Shabbos is in the Torah and it's from God, and it's a mitzvah, a commandment of God, then we say that the person's a heretic. But if a person doesn't like Shabbos, you know, they don't particularly enjoy Shabbos, we don't call that person a kofar, a heretic. So why is it by Mashiach, we say, the Rambam says openly, that v'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, o mi she'eno mechake l'biyaso, either one of those individuals are considered kofrim. They're considered deniers of the Torah. Fine, if a guy accepts Mashiach, he says, listen, the Torah is referencing Mashiach, and I believe it, I would say that guy's not a kofar. Well, a guy has to pack his bags up, and he has to want Mashiach to come. Let's say I don't care if Mashiach comes. Why does that make me a kofar? That's strange to me. And the Rambam also reiterates this in the Shmona Prakim, where he mentions the Yisod of Mashiach, and he also mentions it later in another halacha, in number 5, just at the last line, he says, Eli yechakeh v'yamin, that a person has to wait and believe. So apparently, those two ideas are essential, and if you don't do both, you're a kofar. So my question is, why? Okay? That's one question. The other question that I think we can answer right off the bat, which is I think is a simpler question, is why does the Rambam use two sets of psukim to prove that Mashiach is from the Torah? He uses one set of psukim from Devarim, where he says, V'shav Hashem elokecha shvuscha v'richamecha, and then he uses the psukim from Bilam, where it says, all the references to Mashiach. Why does he need two sources? Most of the time, if you have a solid source, you go with one source. So why does the Rambam need two sources? So I think we can answer that question right off the bat, but like I said, the main question is, why is a person who doesn't await Mashiach's coming, why is he called a kofar? I understand the person who doesn't believe, but the person who doesn't wait doesn't make sense to me. Okay, but let's answer the second question. Why are there two sets of psukim? See, there's two ideas in Mashiach, unless somebody wants to answer. See, I think there's two ideas in Mashiach. One idea is the Yemos HaMashiach, the Geula, that will be brought about in the times of Mashiach, and then there's the individual of the Mashiach, and believing in the fact that there's going to be a Melech, and he's going to bring it about. See, the psukim in Devarim, they simply reference God, and they say, if you look at the psukim inside in the Rambam, he says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvusecha V'richamecha V'shav V'kibetzcha. So that is the idea of Geula Asida that comes about through God. And if you just had those psukim, you wouldn't necessarily maintain that the Torah says that there has to be a person, an individual, who brings it about. So then he goes off the Parshas Bilam. It says that each one's referencing Mashiach. Mashiach HaRishon, Shu David, and Mashiach Achron. So you see that you need two sets of sources for Mashiach in the Torah. One set of sources reference the whole idea of Geula, the redemption, but the other set of sources references the individual of the Mashiach. And those are two essential ideas in the Yesod of Mashiach. In fact, in the Yesod of Mashiach, in the Shmona Prakim, the Rambam has both sources as well, but he reverses the order. But you see that both psukim are essential to the idea of Mashiach. You have to understand the concept of the redemption that's caused by God, but you also have to understand that it must be through an individual. And if you deny either one of those, then you're a denier of the concept of Mashiach. So that's why I think the Rambam uses two sources in the Torah to show you that you're a kofer in the Torah if you deny Mashiach. But that's just the basic. Now let's get back to the main focus. The main focus of tonight's shiur, or one of the main points, is why is it that you have to, as I said before, why is it that a person must believe in Mashiach and wait for his coming? I would say that if a person believes in Mashiach, they're not a kofer, they're not the best guy, they're not a tzaddik, but they're not a kofer. But if it's funny that the Rambam says, it's strange to me that the Rambam says that if a guy is eno mechake lebiyaso, that he's a kofer. Okay?
What? Yes. Can I ask a question about that?
Please,
what
please.
Mechake? Like, what does it mean to wait? Is it like an active thing that you have to do something? You just have to sit? Like,
yes, I think it just means to desire. I mean, I know that there's many stories about the Gedolim, and the Gedolim, many of them had their bags packed. But I don't really think, I don't really understand that so much. I mean, it's possible. I don't even know if it's true. It's possible. But I don't think it means you have to have your bags packed, because I think you'll have sufficient time to pack your stuff up. But I think it means that you have to desire his coming. There has to be a certain, the Rambam in the Shmona Prakim says you have to be a mispalo that he comes. You know, we are mispalo. But there has to be a genuine desire that he comes. And if you don't desire that he comes, then you're a kofer. A kofer b'Torah. You know, it's a pretty strong statement. So how exactly can we explain this Rambam? Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just heard some beeping, okay? Or there's some strange noise. All right. So that's the question. So now let's strengthen the question and make it rock solid. So look at number two in the Rambam. Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav. Ve'elu hein she'ein lahen chelek l'olam haba. So these are the people who lose their portion in the world to come. Ela nechrasim v'ovdim v'nidonin al godel risham v'chatasam l'olam olmei olamim. So these people, they lose their chelek and they're judged and destroyed for all eternity. Haminim v'ha'apikorsim v'ha'kofrim b'torah. Okay, so these are different types of heretics. They're different classes. So one of them is a min and the other is an apikoros. And then you have a kofr b'torah. As, and the Rama mentioned before that a person who's a kofer in Mashiach is a kofer b'Torah. V'a kofer b'tchiyas amesim, if you're a kofer in the resurrection of the dead, uv'vias ha-goel, or if you're a kofer in Mashiach, you lose out on your chelek. Hamordim u'machtiye harabim v'ha porshim midarchei tzibor, those who rebel and those who cause others to sin and those who separate from the community. V'a osa averos b'yad Rama b'farhesya ke yohoyakim. So if you do veros, sins, in public, v'hamosrim u'matile ema al hatzibor, those who are mosrim, they inform, and those who are matile ema al hatzibor, shalol l'shem shamayim, they create a certain awe on the tzibor, fear, not for the purpose of shem shamayim, shofchei damim, people who are murderers, u'bali lashon hara, v'hamoshech or lasa. Fine. So there are different categories of people who lose out on their olam haba. So what is a kofer b'Torah? What is it? Look at number three, the Rambam. Hilchos Tshuva explains what a kofer b'Torah is. Shlosha hein ha-kofrim b'Torah. Ha-omer she'ein ha-Torah me'im Hashem. Afilu pasuk echad. Afilu teva achas. Im amar Moshe amru b'pi atmo. Harei zeh kofer b'Torah. So any person who thinks that Moshe made up any part of the Torah and it's not from God, even a word or, you know, or a single letter, that's one type of kofer. V'chein ha-kofer b'perusha. V'hu Torah shebal peh. V'hamachish magideh. Kigon tzadok u'baisos. If you deny the Torah Shabbat Peh and the explanation of the Torah, you're also a kofer. Va'omer sha'borei hechlef mitzvah zu b'mitzvah acheres ukfar patla Torah zu. If you say that the Torah is outdated, it's antiquated, and the mitzvos are changing, afal pishihi haisa me'im Hashem, kigon ha'garim, kol echad mishol she'elu kofer b'Torah. Even if you say that it's from God, you're still a kofer b'Torah, okay? So why do I bring in this Rambam? I'm bringing this Rambam because you see that the category of kofer b'Torah has nothing to do really with the person's emotions. It really has to do with whether the person's a denier of certain truths or not. So if a person denies the fact that the Torah is from God and that the words are from God, and they say that Moshe made it up, so then they're kofar b'Torah. If a person denies Torah Shabbat Peh, they're kofar b'Torah. If they say that the mitzvos have changed, they're kofar b'Torah. It doesn't say that if a person doesn't like doing mitzvos, they're kofar b'Torah. If a person, you know, a person accepts the fact that the Torah is from God, but you know, whatever, they don't like it. they're not so enthused about it. So you're not a kofar b'Torah. So a kofar seems to be an intellectual denial of, you know, an intellectual denial of, you know, of certain axioms, of certain truths that we hold to be essential. But by Mashiach, for some reason, it's not just enough to be Mamin Bo, but you have to be Mechaka Lebiyoso, and you have to really want him to come. So what exactly is the difference? Why do we say that a regular Kofar B'Torah, you don't really need, your emotions are really not that significant. But by a Kofar B'Mashiach, the desire for him to come is an essential idea. You know, what's the difference between the two? Okay. All right, so I'll let people think about it. So I think we have to get.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly, what is Mashiach? What does it mean?
Oh, so that's a good question. You know, so we need to know what Mashiach is, or we need a little more information to answer this question. So I agree. Good question. Okay, so look at number four, the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Beis. This is just the beginning, but I think this is a key point, and this is going to explain what the times of Mashiach are going to be like, or what exactly is the idea. Okay, lonis avu hachachamim b'hanaviim yemos haMashiach. So the scholars and the prophets, they didn't desire the days of Mashiach. Lo k'day sheyishlatu al kol ha'olam. It's not so that the Jewish people and the chacham and neviim could be rulers over the whole world. V'lo k'day sheyardu ba'akum, and not so that, you know, we could stick it to the goyim. V'lo k'day shenasu oso ha'amim, and not so that the other nations look at the Jews and say, wow, they're great. That's not why we desire, or at least the Chachamim and the Nevi'im desire Mashiach. The lo kedei lecho v'lishtos v'lismoach, they don't desire Mashiach so that they can get, you know, bodily pleasures, that they can eat and drink and be happy. So why do they desire it? Ela kedei sheyu penuyin b'torah v'chachmasa. They just want to be able to learn and be involved in wisdom. The lo yelohem nogesh umavatel. They don't want any. There won't be any pressures or disturbances. So that they can warrant Olam Haba. So really a wise person and a Talmud Chacham, they want Yemos Mashiach so that they can learn, they can be involved in Chachma and the Torah, and that they don't have anything that takes them away from it. Look in Halacha Hey, he explains what that means. Uva'osu Azman, in the times of Mashiach, lo yasham, lo ra'ev, lo milchama. There won't be any famine and there won't be any war. V'lo kina v'tacharos. There won't be any jealousy or any competition between people or nations. Shatova tia mishupas harbe. There will be a lot of good in the world. There won't be any competition. There'll be enough good to supply everyone with what they need. V'chol hamadana mitzuyin ka'afar. All the delights will be found like dirt. V'lo ye esek kola olam el ladas es Hashem bilvad. And the whole involvement of the world will be to know God and to have knowledge of God. Ulefichach, therefore, you Yisrael, chachamim gedolim, v'yiduim devarim hastumim, v'yasigu das borim kefi koach adam. And the Jews, we have an advantage. So because we have the Torah, and we have the Torah, so we will be able to gain, you know, knowledge of God to the fullest of human potential. Shneamar ki mala aretz dea es Hashem, kamayim l'yam mechasim. The knowledge of God will be rampant in the times of Mashiach, like water that covers the ocean beds. And then that's the end of the this is the Nishlamu Hilchos Melachim Achi Bar Kulo. So that's the last halacha in the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam is basically giving us a little bit of insight into Mashiach. And he's saying that the times of Mashiach are going to be times where people can be engaged in Torah and Chachma, and there won't be anything that, any disturbances or hindrances. And the person will be able to be involved in this without any issues, any resistance at all. Okay? So that's just a little bit of how the Rambam, or what the Rambam maintains in Moshe Mashiach is. Let's just look at number five before we, you know, come back. I just don't want to leave it at that. So what is Mashiach also? That was the question. Amru Chachamim, if you look at number five, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. Amru Chachamim, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Li Moshe Mashiach, Ela Shibud Malchios Bilvad. Okay, so the only difference between the times that we have now and the times of Mashiach are sovereignty. We won't be under non-Jewish rule, but you know, Shibud Malchios means that we'll be emancipated from non-Jewish rule. So I think what he means, the Rambam means that there's not going to be, people think that it's, according to the Rambam, it's not going to be supernatural. It's going to be just Malchus based David, and the Jews are going to have sovereignty. But he also describes it as a world where, you know, where things will be somewhat supernatural in the sense that people will be able to be engaged in chachma and learning without any, you know, without any famine or any wars, without anything to take them away from it. You know, and there will be plenty of, he says, like a person won't have to work as much because there'll be, you know, enough to eat and there'll be enough good in the world. So apparently that's how he describes the Nimos Mashiach. Okay? So that's an important piece of information in order to answer our question. But let's not lose focus on the main question, which is, you know, let's say I believe Mashiach will come, but I don't care if he comes. So why am I a kofer? What makes me a kofer? All right. Anybody have any possibilities? Or Debbie?
Maybe.
Dina?
Maybe
nice.
It's because if you don't believe, if you don't have like the will, the yearning for Mashiach to come, you don't really have a yearning to gain this level of chachma.
Okay. So what? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just like an Alma Aretz and you don't really care. That doesn't make you a kofer.
But then you're missing out on like an entire level.
Okay, so you're not the best guy. Like I said, you're not a kofer. Would you call that guy a kofer, a guy who doesn't like learning? He's not a kofer. He's just not the best guy. He can work on himself, but you don't say that guy's a kofer.
But you can still want to. You can still want to have that type of learning, let's say.
You should, but let's say you don't. That's my point. Let's say you don't. Let's say I don't like learning. I know that Torah is from God, and I know that I have to keep the Torah, and the Torah obligates me to learn, so I'll learn as much as I have to, but it's painful for me, and it's hard for me. It's not like he's not a kofer. He's not a denier of axiomatic truths of the Torah. You can still daven with a guy in a minyan. You can still give him an aliyah, right? So over here, though, if I say, listen, I don't care if Mashiach comes. I don't really desire Mashiach to come. Then I'm a kofer, but Torah.
So what's it's the? If you don't desire, you're going to become a kofir if you just don't care. If you're saying Mashiach will come or not, who cares?
Yeah, the Rambam says, Misha eino mechake lebiyaso. O Misha eino mechake lebiyaso, lo bishar neviim bilvadu kofir ala b'torah v'moshe rabbeinu. So he has to be a mechake lebiyaso. And if he doesn't, if he's eino mechake, if he doesn't...
Is it possible that it's because you're limiting God, like you're saying he can't do it?
No, then you'd be denying...
Like it's a limitation? So that would make him a kofir?
No, well, that's an intellectual thing. That's saying that God's incapable of doing this, so I don't believe in Mashiach. That's not saying I believe in Mashiach, but I just don't care if he comes. Let's say a guy said, I believe that God can bring about a redemption through Mashiach, but I just don't care. I'm very happy right now with my life in America, and I don't really want Mashiach to come. That's the question. You know, what is that guy? That guy is pretty severe. He loses his chelek l'olam haba, you know? It's a pretty big deal. All right, so let me give you an example that I used with the Rutgers guys, but it's like a school-based example, which is, I guess, more appropriate for them, but it's still a good example nevertheless. So I took like two classes from high school that I remember. I hope my teacher's not listening. So my class was, one class was health. We had this class called health in high school, and in my estimation, it wasn't really the most integral class. And I remember that we used to have to carry a bag of flour around with us and pretend like it was a baby, because apparently they're worried about pregnancy in my school. But it wasn't. We really weren't learning such essential ideas and such, you know, yesodos about life from health. But it was a requirement. You had to take health, okay? So I didn't really want to take health, but I did it anyways because I had to do it. But I didn't want to do it. Why didn't I want to do it? Because I thought it was stupid. You know, I thought it was just like a waste of my time. But then you have other classes which, you know, like let's take AP Bio, you know. So AP Bio, it's not stupid. You recognize that there's a value to knowing about the world, and also there's a value to getting the credits from the AP Bio. But you don't. There's a part of you that didn't want to take it. Let's say there's a part of me that didn't want to take it because I know that if I take AP Bio, it's going to be a lot of work, and I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm not going to be able to do what I want after school. I'm going to have to do homework and study hard for tests, and I don't want to do that. So, but nevertheless, I do it anyways. But I don't really want to do it because it's hard. Okay. So there's two types. There's two reasons why a person doesn't want to do something. Two main reasons, and I'm using the classes as examples. One reason is because you think it's stupid and you don't really believe in its value. And the other reason is because you think that it's too hard, and there's like emotions that prevent you from doing it, and they tell you, oh, it's too hard to be engaged in AP Bio. So I don't, the emotions are telling you, not to do it. But let's say you do it anyways, but really you don't want to do it. So those are two different types of people. And let's take that, for example, by Shabbos. Let's use that example by Shabbos. There's a person who doesn't want to do Shabbos because, they think that Shabbos is stupid. And there are people who don't want to keep Shabbos or because they think it's too hard. And their emotions are not into Shabbos because it's too hard for them, to not be on their phones or not use the television, or it's too hard for them to not drive. So, those are two different reasons as to why a person keeps, doesn't want to keep a mitzvah or doesn't have emotions in line with a mitzvah, okay? So now how does that work out with Mashiach, or how do we apply that example to Mashiach? So I would say that the person who doesn't do something or doesn't have emotions in line with it because it's too hard, that person's not a kofar, right? Like if a person doesn't want to do Shabbos, they do it, but they don't like doing Shabbos because they find it to be difficult emotionally. So we don't call that guy a kofar because there's a recognition that the person has a mind and they have emotions and their mind is telling them that Shabbos is real and it's from God, but their emotions say it's too hard for me and they have a resistance to it. But the person who doesn't keep Shabbos because, let's say they think it's stupid, so that person really is a kofar because really deep down inside, they don't really believe in Shabbos as a real mitzvah. And they're not doing, they don't want to do it because they think it's stupid. And it reflects on the real belief of what they have of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So Mashiach, how does that, as I said before, how does that transfer to Mashiach? You see, by Mashiach, which one is it? Let's say a person doesn't desire Mashiach to come. So if a person doesn't have any desire for Mashiach to come, which type of person is it? Is that the person who doesn't want Mashiach because they have a resistance, because it's too hard? Or is that the person who thinks it's stupid? So let's say you say that it's the person who thinks it's too hard. So I would say then that the person's a kofar. Why? Because they don't really, or I would say that's impossible. Why? Because the person doesn't really understand what Mashiach's all about. So if you look at the Rambam says that Mashiach is a time when a person's resistance to doing mitzvos will be removed. It's a time where a person won't have any resistance because there won't be anything hard about the world. There won't be, a person won't have to work as hard. A person won't be able to use the excuse of, I have to work so hard, therefore I can't do this mitzvah. You won't have that excuse because all the emotional resistance to doing mitzvahs and learning will be removed in the society of Mashiach. So if a person doesn't want Mashiach to come, it can't be because they think it's too hard. Any reason for it being too hard, which would normally apply to a mitzvah, doesn't apply by Yemosa Mashiach. Because in Yemosa Mashiach, all the emotional resistances are removed. So if a person doesn't want Mashiach to come for that reason, they have a misunderstanding of what Mashiach's all about. That's one possibility. Then I would say the guy's a kofar, but he's not a kofar. He's not like a kofar. It's a different type of kofar if a person has misinformation. But if a person doesn't understand the idea, then they're a kofar. But if the person doesn't want Mashiach to come because they don't care, because they think it's stupid, so that guy is definitely kofar, like the Shabbos, the person who keeps Shabbos, or like me in my health class. So I didn't want to do my health class because I thought it was valueless and it was stupid. So same thing over here by Mashiach. If the person doesn't want Mashiach to come, it reflects on the nature of his belief. It demonstrates that the belief in Mashiach is lacking and that he thinks it's like a valueless idea. So I would say that the difference between Shabbos and Mashiach is that by Shabbos, the Torah recognizes that a person has emotions and they have emotional resistance, and there's a reason why a person may not want to keep Shabbos. But by Mashiach, you can't pin it on the person having emotional resistance, because the whole Zman Mashiach is a lack of emotional resistance. It's the removal of emotional resistance. So if a person doesn't want Mashiach to come, it must only mean that they deny the idea. They don't accept the idea that Mashiach will come. So that's how I want to explain why the Rambam says, it's a little bit of a deep idea, but that's how I want to explain why the Rambam says that there's two people who are kofarim in Mashiach. One is a person who's eno mamin bo, o eno mechaka lebiyaso. Because if a person is eno mechaka lebiyaso, it means that they don't really believe. You can't pin it on the other answer. You can't say it's because it's too hard, because that doesn't make sense by Mashiach. Because by Mashiach, there is no hardness. There is no emotional resistance. So you have to say it has to do with a lack of belief, a lack of emunah in the concept, in the yisod of Mashiach. So that's why Mashiach is different than other types of kofrim and other types of mitzvos. Okay? Is that idea clear, or it's a deep idea?
Yeah.
All right. Can anybody else? Dina? Dina?
Are you there? Good.
Yeah, it's clear.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, good. All right, so I think that explains one idea in Mashiach, and I'm going to actually, at the end of this year, to give you some suspense, I'm going to take up some of the ideas of the Rebbe being Mashiach, because I just want to address it and, you know, just give some logical thoughts on the area, because apparently it's still a very big part of Chabad, and the guys that I was giving shir to in Rutgers, they were mentioning that even though the Chabad people at Rutgers won't openly admit that they believe that the Rebbe is Mashiach, there's really a subtlety and there's an underlying belief there, and they're not completely open about it. So I just want to address that at the end of this year, and we'll take it up at the end of this year. But that's the first point. The first point I want to make is that the Yisod of Mashiach is unique in the sense that a person's emotions have to be in line with Mashiach coming, and if they're not, it reflects on a lack of belief or a lack of understanding of what Mashiach's all about. And it's different than every other mitzvah in the sense that we don't really care about a person's emotions because the Torah recognizes normally by mitzvos that a person may have resistance, whereas by Mashiach, we don't say that. It's impossible because the whole idea of Mashiach, the concept is that resistance will be removed and a person will naturally, the whole world will be geared to keeping Torah mitzvos and gaining chachma. So that's the idea, okay? All right. So let's just move on. I just want to make one other point, and then we'll get to the juicy stuff. So one other point is, how is Mashiach going to come, and how much energy should a person put into studying Mashiach or trying to figure out, about Mashiach? So we have the Rambam, number 5, Hilchos Melachim, Parak Yud Beis Halacha Beis, and we started it before. Amru Chachamim, Ein Bein Ha'olam Hazeh Li'Mosa Mashiach, Ela Shibud Malchios Bilvad. So there's no difference between, as I said before, between the times of Mashiach and the time and now, except for the fact that we will have sovereignty and David's reign will, the Davidic line will be restored. Yirem epshutan shel divrei hanaviim she betchilas yimosha Mashiach tia melchemes Gog u'Magog. So there seems to be, from the pshat of the Nevi'im, there'll be a big war at the beginning. V'shekodem melchemes Gog u'Magog, but before that, yamo navi liyasher Yisrael ulahachin libam. There'll be a navi that comes to try to perfect Klal Yisrael before this war. Shenemar, hinei anochi shaleach lechem es Eliyahu, ve'eino ba, so he sends a Navi, ve'eino ba lo letamei atahor. This Navi, he's not going to make a person who's tamei tahor, ve'lo letayer atamei, not the opposite, ve'lo lifsol anashim shehem becheskos kashrus, he's not going to say that a particular Kohen is pasul, ve'lo lehachshir mi shehuchzuku psulon, and he's not going to, sorry, the opposite. He's not going to passel a person who's kosher, and the other way, he's not going to make a person who's passel kosher. El lasum shalom ba'olam. The only purpose of this navi is to make peace in the world. Shenemar v'heshev lev avos al banim. Okay, fine. V'yesh min hachachamim she'omrim she'kodem bias ha'mashiach yavo Eliyahu. So some chachamim say that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is going to come. All this information a person will not know until it actually happens. This information is closed off to the Nevi'im, the full extent of how Mashiach will come. So too, Chachamim, they don't have any tradition with regard to the details and the specifics of how Mashiach will come. All they have are the psukim in front of them. Ulefichach, therefore, yesh lahem machlokes bedvarim elu. There are many machlokes in as to how Mashiach will come. Ve'al kol panim ein sidur havayas dvarim elu v'lo dikdukan ikar bedas. But there's no purpose. There's no the way that it'll happen and the order and the particulars. They're not essential to the religion. Ulo'olam lo yisasek adam bedivrei ha'agados. A person should not be engaged in the different stories in the midrashim with regard to Mashiach. V'lo yarech b'midrashos ha'amurim ben yanam elu chiyotz behen. Right, so the same thing. V'lo yasimam ikar. He shouldn't make Mashiach the details an ikar essential. She'ein mevien loli de yirav loli de ava, because this information doesn't lead a person to any particular awe of God or any love of God. V'chein lo yachshov hakatzin. A person should not figure out the time in which Mashiach will come. Amru chachamim tafach rucham shel machshavei hakatzim. that the souls of those who try to figure out when Mashiach will come should expire. Ela yechakya v'yamin, a person should await and he should believe. You see, I noticed before that the Rambam has both ideas, but they're in a different order. Apparently, both are essential. Bechlal hadavar. So you should await and you should believe in the general idea of Mashiach, that there will be a Mashiach and that there will be a Geula, kimo shebi'arnu, as explained by the Rambam. Okay? So the basic summary of the Rambam is that he's saying that a person shouldn't be too involved in the details of Mashiach because really nobody knows. And we speculate. There's speculation. But ultimately, you know, if you have a choice as to, you know, as to what you should learn and be engaged in, you shouldn't be engaged in this area. But then he discusses this strange idea of a time, that a person shouldn't try to figure out, you know, a time for when Mashiach is going to come. So I just wanted to, I don't know if this is just factual knowledge, but Rav Saadia Gaon, and I think the Rambam, I don't know if he says it openly, but I noted in the Shmona Prakim where he mentions Mashiach, he says that he mentions this idea of a time, of a fixed time, but he also says that a person has to be mespalel for Mashiach. So it bothered me when I was going through it, you know, if there's a fixed time, so why does a person be mespalel for Mashiach? So Rav Saadia Gaon says that there's two ways in which Mashiach will come, and there's like two alternate approaches. There's two possibilities. One way is that Mashiach will come through Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, and if Klal Yisrael do tshuva as a whole, Mashiach will come no matter what. And the other way is that there's a fixed time regardless of whether Klal Yisrael do tshuva or not. So the Rambam is referring to the fixed time, that there's a fixed time in which Mashiach will come inevitably. But that shouldn't, a person shouldn't believe that that's the only way Mashiach will come, but there's also an idea of Mashiach coming before that time if Klal Yisrael does tshuva. So I just wanted to share that point. It's just a factual point that there's two approach, according to Rav Saadia Gaon, and I believe the Rambam as well, that there's two alternate ways in which Mashiach will come. One way is through as a schar for Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, and the other way is that the world will need Mashiach, and it'll inevitably come by a certain point in time. Okay?
Did they say when the fixed time is?
No, so that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that nobody knows when the fixed time is, and he says that it's a waste of time. In fact, you shouldn't be involved in trying to figure it out.
People say that Mashiach will come by the year 6000, but they don't really have any basis.
Well, that's what the Rambam's saying. Okay, so the Rambam's saying that, listen, it's all speculation, and you shouldn't do it. He says, V'chein lo yechashiv akatzin. He says, don't think about the time in which Mashiach comes. And he says, Amru chachamim, tafach rucham shel machshavei akatzim, that the souls of the people who try to figure out the time Mashiach will come should expire. It's a negative comment. So he says that you shouldn't be engaged in this. But I had a question on this Rambam. It's not a direct question. I just wanted to understand it a little bit deeper. You see, there's a Gemara. It's a famous Gemara on Yaakov. And it says that at the end of Yaakov's life, that Yaakov gathered all of his sons together. And I don't know if people are familiar with the Medrash. If you look in the Gemara, it's a Mesech Psachim Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. It says, V'anan mai taima amrinan le. Why do we say, Baruch Shem Kvon Machusol Olam Vayad after Shema? Kedidarish Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Da'amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Vayikra Yaakov El Bana, Vayomer He'asfu V'agid Alachem. Okay, so Yaakov gathered all the sons together, and he said, "Vayomer heyasfu v'agid alechem." I'm going to tell them. Bikesh Yaakov legalos levanav ket hayamin. So hayamin. So Yaakov wanted to reveal to them the time. It seems like he's referring to the time of the redemption, the time of Mashiach. V'nestalko mimenu shechina. But the shechina was removed from him as he was about to do that, and then the Gemara goes on and explains the origins of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vayad and Shema, and the Rambam actually brings down that part of the Gemara. So if the Rambam has this Gemara, and I'm assuming he does have this Girsa of the Gemara, I just wanted to find out or figure out why would Yaakov want to reveal the Zman, the Katzin, if the Rambam seems like, the Rambam seems to be against it. He seems to be saying that a person shouldn't try to figure it out, and maybe you'll say the Rambam says because it's a waste of time because you can't figure it out. But still, it seems strange to me that the Rambam seems to be saying that a person shouldn't be focused on the time, but yet Yaakov Avinu, you know, wanted to express the time to the children. So how would the Rambam learn this? Or, you know, why would Yaakov want to tell the Klal Yisrael the time? And versus the Rambam, who seems to be saying that it's a bad idea. And it was a bad idea because you see that Yaakov tried to do it, but the Shechina was nostalgia. So what are the two sides? I want to understand why you would say or why you should reveal it versus why you shouldn't reveal it or what the problem is with it. Okay? Hear the question? All right. So, what do you guys think? What do you think? Why would? Why is? What's? Why wouldn't you reveal the time, the Zman? Why is it bad? Why was it nostalgic Shechino Himena, according to the Gemara? Okay. So one possibility is that yes. What?
People will stop, you know, maybe doing good things.
Good. Okay, fine. So in terms...
You know, Mashiach's definitely going to come at this and this time.
Good. So you're saying in terms of the idea of the time, there's a detriment. And the detriment is that if you tell people when Mashiach will come inevitably, so it'll create a situation where Klal Yisrael will not be motivated to work on themselves. And it'll create a lack of motivation in Klal Yisrael. So it's very detrimental to the perfection of Klal Yisrael to tell them the time. So then why did Yaakov want to reveal the time? Right? So that's a good point. So I think the idea is that, see, there's two sides to the coin. So on the one hand, there's detriment to telling people the time. Because if people know the time, then as Dina said, they won't be involved in tshuva or in learning. So it's better not to. But there's also a tremendous benefit that you can gain by giving people the time. And what is that benefit? So I think it's an idea. What did you say?
I think it can motivate you also.
Okay, but let's say you know that you're like 1,000 years away from it. So then I would say it's not really such motivation. See, I think there's an idea in knowledge there. It's an idea in Hashgacha and providence. You see, like I was thinking about, I don't know if it's a good example, but I was thinking about camp, you know? So you know when camp starts, you know when camp ends. And when you know like the end point of camp, like sleepaway camp, then you can kind of figure out what the logics are behind why they put certain events at certain days, like in the camp cycle, like why I guess they would go on a trip towards the end of camp, and maybe because they want the kids to be excited at, you know, excited in the beginning, why they would put a trip in the beginning, because they want kids to be excited in the beginning. You can understand when you know the end point, you can understand, you know, why the camp does and schedules a certain way. So there is a benefit in terms of knowing the end point. So, see, Yaakov viewed the Kates, the time when Mashiach will come and the redemption, he viewed it as a tremendous value in the sense that it could provide man with a unit of time of Hashgacha. And man can now see not just from, you know, from our perspective of why God did certain things at certain times, but you can also see, if you know the end point, you can understand it on a much deeper level because you can understand, you know, how it fits into, you know, a certain unit of time. So I think the idea is that Yaakov really wanted to reveal that information because he saw it as a tremendous source of knowledge for Klal Yisrael, that they would not just view Hashgacha in an isolated sense, meaning God's providence in an isolated sense, but they could view it in terms of a continuum of time, and they could see the end point and why things fit in vis-a-vis the end point, and not just the starting point. You know, from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Geula Asida. Right, but unfortunately, as Dina was saying, apparently there's the detriment of, you know, of creating a situation where Klal Yisrael's perfection would be affected in a negative way was too strong, and Yaakov was not given the ability to reveal this time. So I think that explains how the Rambam would understand this Gemara. That the Rambam's not saying, yes, he's saying that there's no point for us to be involved in it, but also there's a detriment to it. But Yaakov, he saw it as a benefit because he recognized it as a benefit in terms of knowledge of Hashgacha, of how God operates, okay, in a continuum of time. So that's really the second idea of Mashiach. So the first idea was why a person, it was an Eino Mam and an Eino Mechaka as a Kofer. And the second idea I just want to express is the idea of the Kates, the idea of the end of days, that there's, on the one hand, there's a tremendous detriment. And I would say that anybody who claims nowadays to know when that time is, they're providing a tremendous disservice to Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, I would say that that there could, if you have definite knowledge, like Yaakov Avinu, there is a tremendous benefit. And we have to recognize that and we have to accept that. Okay? So now we get to the as I said before, the juicier part of the shir, which is the idea of can the Rebbe or anybody who's dead be Mashiach? No, so how do we hold about that? So if you look at the Rambam, number 7, it's Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Daled. V'im yamod melech mibeis David hoge b'torah v'osek b'mitzvos k'david aviv. So let's say there's a melech that emerges, a king that emerges, who's engaged in Torah mitzvos like David. Kafi Torah Shebichsav v'Shebal Peh. So they keep both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. V'yachov Kol Yisrael Leilech Ba Ulechazek Badka. So he gets Klal Yisrael to follow it and to rectify the breaches in V'yilachim Melchamos Hashem, and he's involved in fighting the wars of Hashem. Hareza Becheska Shehu Mashiach. So then we have a chazaka, we have some type of evidence that he is Mashiach. Im asav hitzliach v'natzach kol ha'umos shesvivav ubana mikdash b'mekomo. So if this individual is successful and, you know, he ends up, prevailing over the other nations, and he builds the mikdash b'mekomo, v'kibetz nidchei Yisrael, and he gathers up all of Yisrael, hareza Mashiach b'vadai, then you know that he is Mashiach. Vim lo hitzliach ad ko. But if he's not successful until now, o nerug, or he was killed, biyadua she'eno zeh she'efticha lav Torah, we know that he's not the one that the Torah promised. Varehu kechol malchei beis David hashleimim haksherim shemesu. And he's no different than the malchei beis David, who were very perfected individuals, but died nevertheless. Okay? And then the Rambam goes into Jesus and Muhammad a little bit. He actually discusses them. But the Rambam over here, so what's he saying? See the Rambam is saying that, how do we know a person's Mashiach? We know a person's Mashiach based on the results. And if a person accomplishes what Mashiach is supposed to accomplish, then he is Mashiach. And if he doesn't accomplish it, and he dies, like then he's like any other king who died, who is perfected. Okay, so in terms of the Rebbe, I guess the Lubavitcher Rebbe being Mashiach, it would seem from this Rambam that it would be impossible that he could be Mashiach, because he did not accomplish the goals set out by the Torah, and in terms of determining, you know, who Mashiach is. He did not build the Mikdash. He was not Mekabes Nidchei Yisrael, and he did die. So as the Rambam says, if you didn't accomplish it, then you're not Mashiach. And now we're not searching for, but if anybody else emerges and does accomplish it, they're Mashiach. So I just wanted to make a couple points about that also, just to further this concept. And a friend of mine actually, you know, gave me a good proof. See, one idea is that I think people view the Lubavitcher Rebbe as an extremely perfected individual, and you know, I don't really know, I didn't know him, you know, personally, and I don't know what his level is. But the idea that the Rambam is saying is that Mashiach has nothing to do with the level of perfection of the individual. In fact, my friend Rabbi Aaron Zimmer pointed out to me that the Rama mentions earlier, and the Gemara mentions, that Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach until he died also as well. But until that point, he believed that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach because Bar Kokhba was very successful in his revolt. But nobody would ever say that Bar Kokhba was more perfected than Rabbi Akiva. See, nobody would say that. But yet Rabbi Akiva was willing to say that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. So the idea of Mashiach is not premised on perfection. It's really premised on, you know, a person fitting a certain role and accomplishing certain goals. So I would say that the fact that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very perfected should not be, and I'm not disputing that, it should not be the basis for whether he is Mashiach or not. And first of all, and then as a secondary point,
they probably don't think it's because he's perfected, though. They probably think that he's Mashiach because of his influence on all, you know, non-religious people.
Yes, but he didn't accomplish the goals of Mashiach, and now he passed away and he died.
Well,
so,
sorry.
No, but I think I no. Actually, if you ask, because I had a friend in graduate school who is pretty, I guess I would call him a hardcore Chabad, and I asked him about it, and he was very, you know, fidgety about it. He didn't want to admit that he really believed it. So I said to him, "Listen," I said two arguments to him. I said one is that, you know, I consider myself, you know, a student of the Rav ultimately, because, you know, my Rebbe is a student of the Rav, and I'm in no place to judge like the perfection of the Rebbe versus the Rav or of Moshe Feinstein. I don't think it's anybody has the ability to compare but I would say that they were all gedolim and they all had, you know, their influence on the world, and we don't have a place to judge. So I said to the guy, I said, you know, how do you know that that he's the Mashiach? And he basically seemed to insinuate that, you know, it's because he's our Rebbe and, you know, he's special. And I said to him, I said, it seems very arrogant to judge Gedolim, to say this one is more special than that one. I think that that's very arrogant on the part of us, you know, and I don't think we have a right to do that. And I would never, me personally, I would never say that the Rebbe is really greater than the Rav or of Moshe. I think, you know, everyone was great, and there's no ability on the part of us to really judge perfection. The only person who can judge perfection is God. So that was one thing I said to the individual. The other thing I said to him was that if you want to say that Mashiach comes from the dead, I said, you can't tell me that the Lubavitch Rebbe was greater than David himself, or Shlomo, or, you know, anybody in the any of the Nevi'im. Like, that would be extreme arrogance to say that the Lubavitch Rebbe was greater than them. So if you say that the Mashiach can come from the dead, so then why are you limiting it to the possibility of the Lubavitch Rebbe? There's many other individuals who even you would admit were greater than Lubavitch Rebbe, I would hope. You know, I would hope you'd admit that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the greatest individual, or David HaMelech, you know, I would hope that you would admit that they were greater. So once you're going back to dead people, you might as well go back to, you know, to David HaMelech himself or Shlomo himself. So that was the second argument I made to him. And I mean, I think there's obviously a deeper emotional connection to the Rebbe, and you're not going to break down. I wasn't trying to break down. I actually was just trying to understand more, and I wasn't aggressive about it. I was just trying to understand more so, you know, what the nature of their belief system is. And I was just trying to, you know, I was just trying to understand. I think they actually believe that the Rebbe possesses the soul of David. I actually asked them about that. I think they believe that the Rebbe possesses, you know, an extremely special soul, and they believe in reincarnation. I think that's ultimately their belief. But listen, you know, like I said before, we're in no position to judge, you know, the perfection of the Rebbe versus the Lubavitcher Rebbe versus other Gedolim of our generation. And I think that's a very dangerous path to take. So that's what I would say. So those are just some of the arguments I would make, you know, against assuming that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Mashiach. Then the last argument is that there's a sequence, there's an order to Mashiach, and Tchias HaMesim seems to be coming after Mashiach. And according to many Rishonim, Tchias HaMesim is a means of helping the Geula along, but the Tchias HaMesim comes after Mashiach. So if you say that Mashiach comes from the dead, you're really changing around the order of how the Torah prescribes the redemption. So I would say that that's also a dangerous idea, a dangerous concept. So that's how I would approach the area. Obviously, I don't think you're not gonna convince you know, a Chabadnik to give up their belief in the Rebbe so easily. But and I actually happen to, yeah, I have personal views as to why they believe so strongly that the Rebbe is Mashiach. But anyways, just from the standpoint of the Rambam and just logical, you know, arguments, I would say that those are some cohesive logical arguments as to why I would say it's, you know, not to believe that the Rebbe is Mashiach, and hopefully the Mashiach will, you know, will come about in the future. So that's really the conclusion of the shiur tonight. So I just want to review, you know, the three main topics or concepts of Mashiach that I hit on tonight. You know, one concept was the idea that a person's emotions and how much they desire Mashiach reflect upon the nature of their belief, and more so than in any other area in the Torah, because the nature of the emotion of Mashiach is that a person will not have any emotional resistance or any reason as to not keep the Torah. In fact, the whole world will be geared to learning and to keeping Torah mitzvos. So if a person doesn't want Mashiach to come, it's really a reflection of the fact that they think that the idea of Mashiach isn't true and they don't value it. And that person's really a kofar. So that was the first idea. The second idea I wanted to express was the pros and cons of the Ketz HaYamin, the end of days, knowing the time. So I think that the Gemara by Yaakov, that the benefit is that you can gain tremendously insight into Hashgacha by knowing the end. Because like I use the camp example, if you know the end, you can know why things happen at certain points vis-a-vis the end. But the detriment to the perfection of the people is far greater. And Yaakov lost the ability to give it to his children, I think, because of that reason, as Dina said. And then the last idea is just the Rambam seems to say that Mashiach has nothing to do with really. You have to be a perfected individual, but you don't have to be the most perfected individual. It's not a matter. It's not a competition in perfection. And you know, a good proof for that is Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochba. That Rabbi Akiva, I don't think people would say that Rabbi Akiva was on a lower level than Bar Kochba, but yet Bar Kochba, you know, had certain traits, important traits, to accomplishing the goal of being Mashiach. And if you view it that way, and you also view the idea that Mashiach simply is a person who accomplishes the goals of Mashiach, then I don't think it's possible to maintain that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Mashiach based on those points. And so I just wanted to conclude this year in that way, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the digression this week. And I want everybody to have a good Shabbos. Anybody have any questions or any thoughts on some of the points? Nope.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Great.
Thank you.
Can you share why? Hello?
Yeah.